All right. Well, I'm glad everyone's here. This is our youth meeting, young adults meeting, whatever you want to call it. I'm sorry we didn't get you pizza this year. We will do it next year. And we just want to do a simple meeting this time. I know we've had lots of services, and the feel of this week is fellowship. And so we didn't want to have a service like praise and worship and all that. We just wanted to have some time. So what I want to do is I'm going to teach for a few minutes on some of the practical things that I believe will help every young man and young woman walk into their calling and succeed. How many know they're called? Hold their hand up. I want to see how many. Okay, wait, hold your hand up anyway because you are called. God has a purpose for you. And I've watched, well, I'm 43 now. I started in ministry when I was in full-time ministry when I was 19 years old, and I've youth pastored for about 3 years. I ran a Bible college. I preached. I did everything, you know, pretty much everything there's to do. I've done, and on this road of mine, and I've dealt with a lot of people, met a lot of people who wanted to please God, who wanted to fulfill their calling, who wanted to walk in anointing and walk in power. And I have to tell you, most of them have not made it. And even though they wanted to, most of them have not lived a life of serving God. Now, many of them are good people. They go to church. They're nice family people. But if you studied your life, you found out, you'll find that most people end up just living a nice life, going to church. How many know what I'm talking about? All right, now if you don't hold your hand up, you don't respond, I get ornery. All right, so how many know what I'm talking about? Good job. So I'm going to give you my 5 rules that I teach every person who lets me on how to become a man or woman of God. Doesn't matter where you start. If you practice these 5 things, all right, every day, you'll wake up one day and see that God is blessing you, God is rewarding you, and you're walking in your calling. Okay? Now, these 5 things are what I believe. Now, there's other avenues, so I'm not saying these are the only ways. I'm saying these are what I believe. If you ask me, how do I become a man of God, I'm going to give you, or a woman of God, I'm going to give you the same 5 rules that I give every person who lets me talk to them. Now, I'm not preaching today. I'm kind of speaking from my heart what I would tell someone if they asked me privately. See, as a minister, you're invited in so far into people's lives. Okay? Some people invite you in from the pulpit, and they want to hear what you have to say. So you preach to them. But you don't go after them necessarily in certain areas because they haven't invited you in. You know, if you go to someone's house, and they got the TV on too loud, and you're like, I'm going to turn your TV off. It's too loud. See, you're out of order there, aren't you? Hey, that's my TV. I'll have as loud as I want. Thank you very much. But in your own house, you're allowed to make those decisions. So these are the 5 things, and what I'll do is I'm going to teach for a little bit, then I'll have a few questions, and then I want us just to fellowship a little bit and get to know each other. Okay? Is that a fair deal? Okay. So this is a time chart I have. Let me have a pen. This is a time chart of your week. Now, what is it that most people fail at as Christians? What's the number one reason that people don't fulfill their calling? The number one fruit is the result of not taking enough time to focus on God and to obey God is lack of character issues. See, lack of character means it's the same reason you get fired at your job. If you don't show up when you say you'll show up, what's going to happen at work? Someone tell me. I'm scheduling you in for 9 o'clock this morning. Are you going to be there? Yes. Okay. So if you show up at 10 o'clock, what's going to happen? Right. And if you show up, if you don't show up for 2 weeks in a row, what's going to happen? You can talk back to me. If you keep not showing up when you're supposed to show up, what's going to happen? You're going to get fired, aren't you? Right? So the number one reason people don't make it in their fault calling of God is the same reason people don't make it in the normal world. Not faithful. You don't do your job like you're supposed to do. You do it the way you want instead of the bosses want, you know. Say you worked at Starbucks, and they say, okay, this is how you make a caramel macchiato. This is what Pastor Dave likes, a triple grande, triple venti caramel macchiato. Extra hot. Extra hot. And you get hired at Starbucks, you say, you know, I think the caramel macchiatos need more caramel. And so you're there pumping five shots of caramel instead of the, how many shots of caramel in a caramel macchiato? Four pumps of vanilla. Oh, it's a fake. So you're making a fake caramel macchiato, and you're pumping in 10 shots of vanilla. You think it needs a little bit of chocolate in there. And they tell, what are they going to tell you? Excuse me, this is how we make it. And you say, okay, the next five guys who get their caramel macchiatos, they're all different. What's going to happen to you? They're going to stop asking you to do it. And what I'm trying to get to is this. The simple things that qualify you for God to use you, everyone around you should see them, not just God. I remember, you hear someone say, hey, it's, I can dress how I want, when I want, because I'm free. You know, and you're like, hey, buddy, you're tank top shirt doesn't quite fit in church. Oh, hey, man, I'm free. God looks on the inward. Man looks on the outward, and my inward is awesome. Well, that scripture is true. That was God saying, hey, God looks on the inward, but man looks on the outward. See, man will always look on your outward. So if you want people to respect you, If you're on the beach witnessing on the beach and you wear a tank top and shorts, of course, because you wear a suit and tie, no one's going to want to listen to you. Well, the same thing here. You will disqualify yourself from people listening to what's inside of you because you don't care what they think. That's pride. And I think that's what I want to beat up this tonight is pride. That says I don't have to submit to standards or rules or lifestyles because it's me and God. And you will disqualify yourself from being received because of that attitude that says, I get to do what I want when I want. If anyone here in this group of people during this conference should be on time and excited about services and engaged in worship, it should be you guys. And I've watched it. We are all talking about how impressed we are with how mature everyone is and how the maturity of the young people here. But there's an attitude that runs through all young generations that says, I don't need anyone to tell me what to do. So the things that will disqualify you are lack of character issues, not showing up on time. You know, we have one guy, I remember he'd be late all the time. And he'd say, well, you know, I can do what I want, you know. I said, well, I thought you wanted a preacher. Oh, I am going to be a preacher. I said, oh, okay, so you're just not going to show up for church. Well, I'm not preaching. I said, well, what if you are preaching one day and they schedule you to come preach? Are you going to call the pastor and say, oh, you know, the pastor will call you on the phone? Hello? Hello, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just hanging out, slept in, You know, I went to sleep late last night. My alarm clock didn't go off. Pastor said, well, we're all here waiting for you to preach. Always remember, if you're not faithful in the little, will you be faithful in the much? No. And this is a ministry that provides for you the path into God and the path into His power. But because you are coming out, many of you, out of religion, you don't have a good church to go to, if I can say that, it's important that you also understand that you have to grow in your character. Waiting for the Holy Ghost to tell you to be on time is not okay. Waiting for the Holy Ghost to tell you to don't sleep with each other unless you're married is not okay. Can I keep preaching? Waiting for the Holy Ghost to tell you to act and conquer your character issues is not okay. There's standards that you should know instinctively to live by. And excuses are not okay because they will disqualify you. I find that if you make an excuse one time, then you're justifying making an excuse for the next time. All right. So I'm going to give you the five things that I teach everyone who listened to me. Now, you don't have to accept these. If God showed you something else, then I'm perfectly okay with that. These are just the five things that I teach every young person, every adult, every person who asks me, how can I be a man of God? How can I be in my ministry or my calling, whatever your calling may be? How do I have success every day with following God? Okay? Now, this is what we call time. This is your weekly time right here. This belongs to you. This is what you're in charge of. This is probably the only thing you're in charge of. All right? Is the time you have during a week. Now, the first thing, I have my assistant here, Brittany White, come up. And the first thing we're going to talk about, number one, is work. W-O-R-K. Now, I know that's not a very spiritual word, but it's a very important word. Because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't. Wow, that's pretty weak. If you don't work, you don't. Okay. So, how much should I work? What direction of work do I take? Now, you're young adults. There's a transition for every young adult to come out of the home where they're taken care of and go into the place where they're taking care of their needs, right? They're taking the responsibility of their needs. They're walking. You know, I remember the weight of caring for yourself falling on my shoulders, you know, and having to learn how to give that to God. So the reason why work is number one is because it is what you're going to do the rest of your life, is work. Now, there's some jobs you can work in things that you like, and it doesn't seem like work, but it's still work. You got to show up on time. You have to be there on time. Pastor Dave, when I first moved here, I tried to beat him down to the prayer closet because he would pray in his office because that was his work. Well, it was my work too because I was full-time ministry. And I'd race down here. I remember it started at 6 o'clock. He was in there praying. I thought, well, I'll beat him tomorrow. I got down here at 5:30. He was in his office praying. I said, no problem. I'm going to get up at 5. I got down here at 5. He's in his office praying. Now, see, you know how you can get lazy and say, well, I'm just a little tired today. I think I'm going to rest my flesh. See, no matter what you do in life, it becomes work. I've been in ministry now for 24 years. And as exciting as things that used to really excite me, preaching, getting invited to preach, traveling, now it's not so exciting. Okay, it's not bad. I love what I do. But when I go be away from my family for 10 days, oh, you're in Brazil and you're preaching revival. Yeah, but my wife and my kids are at home while I'm doing that. I miss them. I'd rather be with them most of the time than being out doing the preaching. It's work, see? And you have to decide that this is what life is for the rest of your life. Growing up means you take responsibility for the things in your life that will disqualify you from God choosing you. And if you do it to a person, lack of character, you'll also do it for him. Now, if you fail at lack of character, there's nothing wrong with failing. We all fail. We all struggle. That's part of life, overcoming things. You know, I was raised with no discipline. I had no bedtime growing up. I had no supervision. I never was made to do my homework. That's how I was raised. So when I got to be 18, I had to deal with things to put things into me that were going to disqualify me. Are you still with me? Okay. So this is the one thing you have time of. Now, what I would suggest, depending on your age and the responsibility you have, there's more. How many know there's more responsibility for someone with two kids than with someone who's single? So when you're single, this is the best time to get things straight. So work is something that should take a large portion, of your week. How much do I work? Well, I suggest you work enough to pay your bills and meet your needs. That work at your age, for most of you, isn't a career choice unless God's given you direction. Work for you shouldn't be about building your life unless God's given you direction. I believe work at your age should be about paying your bills enough to give you free time to do the rest of the good stuff that's going to feed into your future and into your calling. So this is work. Work enough. Yeah, work enough to pay your bills. Give my lovely assistant a hand, if you would, please. If you're out of school, you don't need to pray about work. You just need to work. Okay? So you're going to work enough to pay your bills, and you're going to live within your means. So that means don't get a $18,000 car and say, I can't have time to pray. I have to work. See, make your means as little as possible. You know, there's a time in when we were full-time and my wife fed me, her, our son, on $125 a month on groceries. We didn't get to go out to eat. We didn't get to go to the movies. We didn't get to do much anything because that's all the money we could afford. That was all that was coming in. I thank God I learned how to live within my means so I could follow God. You know how many people, if God came to them, said, you, it's time. I'm calling you to Hawaii to go minister for 2 weeks. They'd have to say, oh, I can't. I got all these bills. I got a TV on my credit card. I got a car on a loan. I said, I can't go. I just can't because I'm in bondage to my TV. Live within your means. Make it a lifestyle. All right, I'm trying not to get too teachy here. Work enough to pay your bills. Live within your means. And this is your work. Number two is what we at the prayer center might call spiritual growth. This is a time you take in your week to practice the tools that you learned here at the prayer center. Someone tell me some of the tools. You all know them really good, right? Brain tongues, worship, meditation, simulation, confession. What's the other one? Fasting. Oh, we don't say that one around here. This is my service. We don't say that word. So spiritual growth. This is number two. How many can say that that's the most important thing in your life? To make sure, because if you're not spending time in your spiritual growth, then you're going to hate yourself 10 years from now because nothing's going to change in your life. But you know what takes people out of this, having time to do this? Let's say you set a good amount of time. Probably not as much as work, but we'll say pretty close to work, okay? Now, here's spiritual growth. Now, let's say that you're spending time in spiritual growth, and you decide to take yourself out of work so that you have more time for spiritual growth. That sounds great for about a week until a paycheck doesn't come in. And when a paycheck doesn't come in and your bills start piling up, what's going to happen? They come repossess your car if you got it on debt. You're not going to eat. The electricity goes out. Your guy who's renting your house from comes and kicks you out. Now what? Now you're in desperation. Why? Because you took yourself out of work. Work supplies the time for spiritual growth. All right, number three. Number three, I'm going to call, well, I think I'll call it church. But how many of you have a good church that you go to? Hold your hand up. All right, so I don't want to call it church. I'm going to call it learning from others. Because you don't have to have a church to learn from others. I'm not going to try to push you into a church that isn't healthy, just to say you go to church. But because you don't have a church that's not healthy doesn't mean you don't get to learn from others. Okay? Because there are many things you can learn from others. Right? The young women can learn from the old women. Right? Who better to learn how to be a mother yet from her mother? So, learning from others is for, number one, we'll call education. Okay? Education. That would be, for most of you then, if you're in the Tulsa area, I would expect you to come to church here. And for those of you who have badgered long enough, what do I expect when you go to church here? Show up on time, right? Be at the services. Don't leave until you're dismissed. It's amazing to me how many people, when they have an altar call, all of a sudden have to go somewhere. Like, I got to get to the restaurant 10 minutes early. That's just their soul. That's just their natural soul trying to get something. Learning from others. Okay, education. So for most of you, I would say that spending time every week listening to some of the teachings from the people that have fed you. Pastor Dave, Gary, some of the teachings from the conference. But, you know, a healthy dose of, because education. I can't tell you how much of the revelation that I have about God has been built on other man's time in the prayer closet. You know, Pastor Dave will spend 20 years and get one revelation. I get it because I listen to it. It's like, that's worth $10 right there. Okay. It's important that you put time in your week for education. Oops, sorry. As well as spiritual growth. Education from a human being. And I say that because the Holy Ghost will teach you in your spiritual growth time. So we're going to put some time there. Okay? The other one I want here is instruction. Now, I know we're not supposed to guide you, but it's important that you find someone that you respect who's on this path that you have to talk to, that you have to learn from, that you have to give you healthy instructions. I have needed in my youth, especially, not now that I'm an adult so much, but in my youth, I needed someone to give me advice when I didn't know what to do. I needed someone to kick me in the rear when I was being lazy or fleshing out or stupid. I remember there was a girl that I was dating and I broke up with, and she wanted to get back together with me, but this was years later. I was dating Christy, my wife, and I went through this struggle, like, and my pastor came up to me and said, "Alan, you're stupid if you don't marry Christy. Are you an idiot?" I needed that little nudge, just because, you know, getting married is a little awkward. Trying to, you know, that's an awkward time of your life. Thank God I'm not your age, by the way. So to make yourself open to instruction from people that you respect is very important. Not just the nice instruction. Not just the, "I want the pastor who just loves me. I just get around him and he just, oh, you're so nice, you're such a good." I want someone to help me become a man of God. Someone who loves me enough to get into my business. You know how unhealthy it is when no one's in your business? You know how unhealthy that is? Your flesh can trick you into all kinds of things. And at your age, there's little mistakes that don't really matter much, but there's some big mistakes that can really ruin your life. Just like, boom. I can't tell you how many people I know who, as virgins, had sex one night and got pregnant. Just had one rough night, gave in, thought, okay, all right, I'm sorry, I repent. They repented, they got over, okay. And then a month later, they're pregnant. It's like, well, you can't fix that. That's not a mistake that you can just, that's a life-changing mistake. Who you marry, I'm not going to marry some guy. Well, you may say that, but you spend enough, girls are nuts. You spend enough time with the wrong guy, you'll fall in love with him. You'll start thinking I married one girl, she came to me, she said, "That guy that just came, the youth, he's the ugliest guy I've ever seen." That's what she told me that. 1 week later, she's walking down the hallway holding his hand. "Isn't he so cute? He's just so cute." Girls are nuts. Thank God, because we'd never get married if they weren't half crazy. So it's healthy for you to have someone look at you and say, "Excuse me, that guy does not have a job. His car has 3 tires on it. You're paying for the restaurant bills. What's wrong with you?" Everyone needs a pastor, someone who you allow into your business to mess with your business when you're young. Because as much as you know God and as smart as you are, you're not smart enough. The best thing that I can give you is from my experience of my mistakes and other people's mistakes, so you don't have to make the same mistakes. Someone said, "I don't have a testimony. I was a virgin when I got married. I went to church my whole life. I just don't have a testimony." Like this one. This one's been around, done this, done that. They have a testimony. Church likes when they testify. They never asked me to testify because I got nothing to give. Well, that's the best testimony. You know the best way to learn? Someone says the best way to learn is from your mistakes. No, the best way to learn is from someone else's mistakes. See, wisdom is when you learn without the damage. Okay, that's simply what wisdom is. I can tell you, don't touch that stove. It's hot. And my that's the difference between my son and my daughter. See, my son, what's hot? "Don't touch it, Harrison. You'll burn your finger." Where? See where the top of the stove is red hot and burning? Yeah. Don't touch it, because you'll burn your finger. And you'll see him when I'm not looking. He'll be like, trying to figure out if it's real or not, right? Well, what's going to happen one day when I'm not looking to catch him? He's going to go, you're going to hear the scream. Ah! He'll come right around the corner with a burnt finger or a burnt hand. Because that's my boy. He has to learn by experience. Ava, if you say, "My little daughter, Ava, that's hot, don't touch it," she'll go, "Okay." Both of them learned the same lesson, but one had to go through pain to learn it. The other one used wisdom. Wisdom was when you take the opinion of someone you respect and say, okay, I don't quite understand that. I don't quite know the whole why you're telling me that, but I trust you to speak truth into my life because you love me. So therefore, I choose to learn without pain. That is taking instruction. God will give you someone if you ask Him to. You don't have to wait for God to give you someone, but it's good to ask God. Say, who can I have that I can look up to speak into my life? See, that's why a lot of people get married. There's things that you go through. You don't have to go through that alone. You get married and you're having a hard time, and if you're isolated, if you got yourself isolated where there's no one that you allow into your business, you will go through years of struggle that could be fixed in one conversation with someone who said, oh yeah, me and my wife went through that. this is what I did, and oh, okay. It's great. There's amazing how much pain you can save yourself by opening yourself up to let someone pastor or speak into your life who's in your business. A pastor is someone who's in people's business. That's a pastor. Okay? All right. So this would be for education. Am I boring you too bad today? Oh, you're so kind. That's why we love you so much. Now, number four. This is called serving. Now, these are instructions I give everyone. Serving. Serving, I believe, is especially powerful because it makes you obligated to things outside of yourself. How boring to live your whole life for yourself. I only serve where it's nice. I only serve when it's easy. I'm only available. Your phone is only rings from the people that won't, oh, they're going to give me something. Hello, you give me a new car? All right, yes, I'm the man of God. I'm ready. Living your life for God means you never get to do what you want. Now, when you deal with that and settle with that, then you'll enjoy life. You never win with God. This one point right there, let me just show you. You know what this is right here? That's a target. This is the one thing that every person wins or loses in their walk with God, in fulfilling their calling, is the breaking of their will. That doesn't come by a prayer line. It doesn't come from a switch. It comes from submitting yourself to God. That your life is not your own. This is where religion's built. Where I can serve God and do what I want at the same time. How great is that? But nowhere in Scripture does it allow that. What Scripture says is your life is not your own. See, your whole life, you might as well get used to it. You're not at another church, you're at this church. Your whole life means you don't get to do what you want. You don't get to live where you want. You don't get to do what you want. You don't get to live in the money that you want. You don't get to make decisions that you want. Oh, look, there's a job that's going to pay me $1 million. Wow, they called me. And God, if I go, I will give you $900,000, $800,000, $200,000 to the gospel. Man, that is awesome. God says no. But it's right next door to my mom. It's a job that I love. And it's the blessings of God. And God says, no. Guess what you have to do? say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. But you know why most people won't say no? Because on their path of life, to get to that place where that big decision to say no was, they always did what was easy. They always made choices every day to do what seemed the easiest, what seemed the nicest, that seemed, you know, okay, I'll help out if I have time. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't go because I have some spiritual growth time. Well, you know, spiritual growth time can be moved. See, do you notice where Gary is this week? Do you know where Gary is right now? Do you know where Pastor Dave is right now? And Tim? You know where these men of God are right now? They're locked away in their prayer closet. No. They're out having a steak. They're eating and rubbing shoulders with friends and making fellowship. Why? Because this is the week of fun. This is the week of fellowship. This is the week of meetings. We don't spend much time on spiritual growth because that's what we do last week and the week before, right? So this can be moved. This is the most important. But it doesn't remove you from being available. And when you make your life only about doing what's convenient, guess what happens when you have to make a life-altering decision that God says, I want you to do this and everything in you because you spent your whole 10 years of relationship with ministry, with following God, only doing what's comfortable. When you got to this choice, to do what was uncomfortable seemed impossible. And that's why most people fail at that choice. But what if you made a life of not getting your way and learning to be comfortable not pleasing yourself, not just doing what was easy? What happens if you got to this life-altering decision? Which would be harder, to go the way of your flesh or to go the way of God? Because you spent your whole life learning and making decisions by what was hard, this was not difficult. It seemed comfortable and familiar. So here's what I want to encourage you, okay? To make yourself available to giving of yourself. This is what I call serving. Serving is when you give of yourself in a way that does not reward you and does not build. Okay? It's not serving if it's something like where you get paid. You know, hey, I need some help doing camera tonight. Who's available? Oh, I'm paying $50 an hour. Do you know most of my life God has not paid me to serve Him? If you ask Pastor Day to come preach at your church, you know what he'll say? I'll come. How much do you charge? Oh, nothing. See, serving God in all aspects should be charged nothing. And when you only do what's convenient, what's comfortable, what's paid, then you're setting yourself up to serve God in an unhealthy way. Is this making sense? All right. So here's what I think might work. So serving means find a place where you don't get rewarded. The best thing about serving means that you are expected to do something and be somewhere. See, this whole idea of promotion, I'm just going to pray and seek God. You know, let me put it this way. Say you want to get married. All right, God, I'm praying for a wife. Hallelujah. I call her in. I got my 35 checklist right here. Blonde, 5'8". Really pretty. I want this type of figure. Good breath. She has to have a job to help pay my bills. So you got this list of, you know, all the things you want. A good upbringing, goes to church, praise in tongues, blah, blah, blah. And then you're in conference time, and there's all these pretty girls over there. And you're sitting over here saying, yes, there they are. One of them's my wife. Hallelujah. And they're having fun. They're fellowshipping. They're talking. And you're over here going, thank you, Jesus. Look, it's like hunting. Look at them all. It's like, it's not a lot of great God. I'm sticking at them. It's Jesus' name. Yes, hallelujah. Woohoo. Thank you, Jesus. And a girl walks by to go to the bathroom. And you go, oh, thank you, Jesus. And you let her walk by and you don't say hi to her. You don't get to know her. You don't communicate. Guess what's going to happen? Oh, God will tell her in a dream, in a vision. Alan, that's it. She'll see my name in a poster in a dream. Mary Alan. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're trying to put responsibility on God. That's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to get over the insecurities, to get over the fear that's trying to keep you locked up. Well, it's the same thing with your calling. If you're called to business, if you're called to ministry, that you have to take steps that will qualify you for ministry, okay, or for your calling. So that's why serving is so important, because you make yourself, by serving, become accountable. Serving says, I'll be there. It allows you to have to be somewhere. It's so unhealthy for any young person to live their life not expected to do anything. Because as much as you love God, you have flesh on you. And when I was your age, my flesh was much louder than it is now that I'm older. And it's amazing how much you've been educated by your past, by your family, by television, by so many things about life that it can get confusing sometimes. Am I preaching okay? This is not the time for you to be by yourself to figure things out. This is the time for you to get involved, to get where you are expected. Because, you know, if you have a part of you that says, I only show up when I want to, you know, work will fire you. But if you have that part that says, I only show up when I don't get paid, when I want to, if you're paying me, I'll show up on time because I want my paycheck. I'll show up when I say so for my paycheck. But outside of my paycheck, hey, I do what I want when I want. You know, what makes you think when God tells you to do something, you're going to do it? Oh, I'll know it's Him. Then I'll do it. You have to start now. And the best way you do is find a place where you can serve, where you're not rewarded. And serving is easy when it's fun, but when it's not fun, when everyone else leaves and you're the last one there, are you still going to be there? This is the part that causes you to be promoted by God. This is the part, this serving part is the part that will cause you to face your fears, to face your insecurities, to face your laziness, to face your lack of discipline, to face those things that will disqualify you. Serving is a part of your life. This is my suggestion. Now, what if I don't go to a church? Well, some of the things that I've done is I have volunteered for things. Like, I coached my son's, last night I was coaching soccer at 6 o'clock. I preached from 2:30 till 5, and then I got in the car, put on my sweatpants and my coach shirt, and grabbed my whistle, grabbed my kid, and I took off and I coached. I coached a practice. Almost put my voice out. I was like yelling at the kids so loud. I was like, oh man, I won't be able to preach in the morning. But you know what happened when I've met four men that I never met before. I have been building a relationship with men who don't know God. I am getting to share the love of God without preaching at them. Why? Because I'm outside of myself. So even if you don't have a church, find some place that you can be expected to be where it does not pay you back. It doesn't have to be a big part of your life. Listen, this is number one, number two, number three, number four. Let's do number five and I'll come back to this. Number five, I'm going to call intimacy with people. Okay? We can also call it fellowship. But I want it more than that because we can kind of sneak behind fellowship a little bit. Intimacy with people. I want fellowship to be more than just hanging out. I want it to be something where you get to know each other. See, when I put together a fellowship, a barbecue, something like that, I don't have a prayer meeting. I don't have a time of worship. That is would be called a prayer meeting. I'm having a prayer meeting, come to my house, we'll pray together. I'm having a time of worship, we'll play the piano, worship together. But fellowship is so important because it allows you to get to know each other. And what I'm afraid of for some people is that you go through your church, and this is why it's dangerous for you especially, because many of you come from all parts of the earth and you don't have a local church, a local band of people that are on the same page. Is that a fair thing to say? That you're alone and you don't have someone close to you like we have here to help you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to kick you in the rear. You don't have that. So you have to develop that. And for some of you, it may have to be over the internet or over Skype with some of you, each of you. But this is a time of fellowship, meaning I want to know you. You know how silly it is if I want to know you and all you do is tell me about Scripture? How you doing? Y'all, let me tell you what God's showing me. Oh, that's nice. Oh, God's giving me a word for you. Oh, that's nice. You know, what's your name? You know? My sisters, when I was trying to get them saved, I'd harass them. Every time I came to their house, I'd be like, hey, you're going to go to hell. You need to come to church. And they started to resent me because what they saw when I walked in the room was I was looking at their soul and I wasn't noticing them. And they started to resent me. See, and that's what could happen with you in the realm of what we practice here at the Prayer Center, is you could spend so much time talking about God. I know this isn't a very spiritual meeting so far. You can spend so much time talking about God or spending time worshiping God together, you can miss out on actually knowing who your brother is. Because there's times where I have had a need of someone that I can be completely vulnerable to and completely open, who I trust, who knows my weaknesses, and still loves me. I've needed that. And you can, it's tough if you walk around with this shield of, dun, 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 I am okay. Yes, I prayed 20 hours last week. I've got it together. Well, inside you're struggling.